You're listening to More Than Friends, a podcast about the lives of women who love other women. In today's episode, I sat down with my friends Christina and Elaine, who very recently got married and also became foster parents 2 years ago. A topic that kept coming up in conversation was how neither of them ever imagined their lives turning out this way. In fact, they didn't think their relationship would blossom past a few dates. Joke's on them, because 6 years, two dogs, three cats, and three foster placements later, here they are running a popular Instagram page called Two Mums and a Foster, where they share their heartwarming and at times heartbreaking anecdotes. We really enjoyed recording this episode, so we hope you enjoy listening. Hi, Christina. Hi, Elaine. Really excited to have you guys here. I've known you guys for quite a while. I've known you since you started going out. I have a lot to thank Christina for. She took me under her wing when I was just a baby gay. There's something that I think is really true. I don't know if Christina will agree with me, but Elaine, you are the best thing to have ever happened to Christina.
Oh, thank you.
I wasn't okay alone. So on Elaine, like, I had to add an Elaine to my life. Yeah, so she is the best thing.
We balance each other, I think, nicely.
You do more balancing, but yes.
Let's start at the very beginning. I heard that it all started with a friend request on Facebook. Elaine, is that true?
It's totally true. So I was going to celebrate my 40th birthday, and I was at a restaurant with friends of mine. And they were like chatting with me at Chitra, and they were telling me, you should start dating again, blah, blah, blah. I told them, no, I'm enjoying my time alone, da, da, da. I was somehow, let's put it that way, stalking Christina on Facebook because we had some friends in common. And I was showing her Facebook profile to friends of mine. And literally one of my friends told me, oh, I know her, a chatter from school. You should add her as a friend. I told her, no way, I don't do these things. Forget it. If it has to happen, it happens. And she said, let me see. And she sent a friend request to Christina there and then. And I said to myself, oh my God, So I was totally embarrassed about this. And when we left, I went in the car and tried to undo the request. But Christina had already accepted the friend request. So it was fate. Nowadays, yes, that's what I say. And technically, we started chatting. We spent three weeks chatting. And then one time, she had a rugby game. And I told another friend of mine, I really like this person. Let's go and see this rugby game. When we got there...
You judged me tremendously.
I did. Judge you tremendously. I said to my friend, Dital Pepe.
And I'm short.
She's short, but at least she has a sexy ass.
And she's fightly shahaja taiba.
And then we spent...
You assumed I was already with someone.
And
then
be.
You just
yes.
left.
And then I told my friend, let's go to Golden Bay and have a drink rather than waste time.
Waste time. Okay.
And then eventually, 2 weeks after...
I changed my profile picture.
Right, Christina changed her profile picture and I said, okay, Il, get on and... message her. And I sent her a message. And about a week after, we met for a bottle of wine.
Not because you had anything to do with it.
She invited me for a bottle of wine.
If it were up to you, we'd still be chatting 5 years later because God forbid you do something. You're so proud.
True, true, true. And then we went to Del Borgo to have...
Don't start. Don't
say no,
start.
I'll miss that part. Okay. And
because Christina said... She didn't say hello to you.
No. She just said, do you have Vivo mobile?
I forgot my wallet. Ah, fine.
Because
first
she forgot her
movie.
Wallet. And I said, yes, I do. And then we went to Del Borgo and we stayed till 2 a.m. chatting. Poor waiters, they were literally waiting for us to leave. And from then on, the story of us started practically.
What she said.
So how long have you been together now?
Nearly 6 years.
6 years in March.
And you had a very big event a few weeks ago.
Yes.
That we did.
We got married. Something that...
Would have never gotten married if it were left to you.
Yeah. And something I never thought about doing in the past.
On our first date, she told me three things. Her age, that she would never get married, that she never wanted children.
Here we are.
So what did you do, Chris? How did you convince her?
I didn't convince her because I was sure it was just a fling. And I was like, whatevs. For me, she was an older woman. So I was like, amazing. I was just like, she's hot, she's older, and she's into me. I was like, three things in my favor. I forgot all the other three things. And I was like, she doesn't need to talk about marriage because we're not going there. I didn't want children either. And her age was a bonus to me. So I was like, okay. And we're married with kids.
And so you guys do have this age gap between you. Do you feel that it has affected your relationship in any way? Or is it just a fact and you've, you know, doesn't really matter?
It affects both positively and differently, never negatively. But the fact that Lil has experienced so much and has garnered so much wisdom, it lends to mine. And all my stupid mistakes that I make on a daily basis... Lil just always tells me, "Kikuyina kont namela ek," for example. And I'll be like, oh my God, that's really useful. Why didn't you tell me before? So the fact that she has lived and experienced much more than I have helps. But then when it came to this fact of getting married and having kids, she had already passed that stage in her life when I was entering it. So for her, it was always...
I had like this plan in my head that I would...
The famous retirement.
Yes, exactly. Work hard, play hard, always... All my life, I would be the last one to leave a party. I would go out Friday, Saturday, Sunday, enjoy life, etc. Travel a lot. And the plan was that I would retire when I would be 55. But forget that episode. And like when I met Christina, things completely changed.
Okay, because if you notice, that plan didn't have a plus one in it.
Exactly.
It was just like play hard, party hard, travel and retire.
Alone. Not even when I started designing my own house did I ever think of having kids.
It was very badly designed. Beautifully designed.
Exactly.
Not family / dog / cat / child oriented at all. At all.
It was for Elaine.
It was for me.
Pinterest house for an individual that loves pebbles and candles.
Exactly.
It was a beautiful house. It is a beautiful house.
I can confirm. Beautiful house.
Thank you.
But for pebbles and candles.
And then came along Christina with her shadow, Gussie.
Screwed up her your plan, yeah, a little bit. Going back to how this started, the age, you see how the age sort of factored in for her. Her life was already mapped out, whereas mine was still unraveling. So when she was so sure about never wanting kids, never wanting marriage, it was a question I couldn't even answer when we met 6 years ago. Because when she told me, "And Alura, what do you think?" I don't know. When it comes, it comes. But when it came, and then we were together, so we had to go through together. And because we were at different parts or different points in our life, it did affect the decision-making, and it wasn't an easy hurdle to get past because Lil was very set on retiring early and using her income and her working hard for herself or us to enjoy. Whereas obviously if we have dependents or if we decide to get married, it's a massive expenditure that goes towards something that wasn't in her life plan. So then at that point, the age was a bit of a stumbling block, but it never stopped us because it always, her wisdom combined with my capacity to be very malleable at times lent for the possibility for a very good compromise. So we always compromise.
We always and it's one of find our, a way.
It's one of our funny jokes that we always find middle ground. Even sometimes it's more towards Lil, but it's okay.
Yeah.
You're not allowed to be doing this. Whatever she's saying.
But when I said earlier that she's the best thing to have ever happened to you, it's because, case in point, you know, I remember that when you guys met, you were on your...
Don't say it.
Okay, I won't say it.
I was on my nothing. Skip, repeat, fast forward.
No problem.
I was experiencing life. What I wanted.
But that's it. You were just on your own journey, wings completely open, shara bibek, you're just doing your thing.
Yes, like Icarus, except...
It's fantastic and everyone should
and
do.
And exactly, everyone should do. And everyone should go through that path as well.
But then together, you're both grounded and you just make sense. And you know that the decisions you make have been well thought out and that there's a lot of love in everything that you do.
It's because Lily makes the decisions, that. That's why they're well thought out.
Hey, we compromise, hon.
I would be like, should we do this? Okay. Lily would be like, ha, naksiba. And I'd be like, what does that even mean? Is that a word?
So, Lil, I remember... Chris, I just have questions for Elaine.
It's okay, go for it. This is generally how it happens. They're like, ah, oh, Elaine, joke. Oh, sweet, let me go talk to her. I'm like... She's the star of the show.
Yeah.
I feel like you have a lot to share with our audience about your experience of being gay in Malta at a certain time, long before the law dictated what was acceptable and what's not.
It was so different. So completely different. Everyone used to hide. I felt that I always had this double life, that when it comes to being at home, I was Elaine A. Elaine.
Call her Joyce, hon. No. It's Joyce. It's Lillian Joyce.
Your alter ego.
Yeah. I couldn't be open about my personal life with my parents because they were the traditional kind of parents, even work-wise. They never imagined that I would have a strong career. So there were different aspects. And also, I always felt that then I had my life when I met my very close friends, not my colleagues. I wasn't open with them when, obviously, I had my first relationship when I was 19. So being open wasn't on the table. We always had to meet other gay friends at different bars. For example, there was a bar owned by Nikki. It was called Nix, very close to City of London. So everyone used to hang in there. And then there was Lady Godiva, which was like in bang in the middle of Parcheville. And there were...
Or even when you used to go out on dates, hon, you could never go out... Two of you on a date, like Valentine's
yes,
Day,
it was always a group. It was different. And even the secret parties under Borzata Malta. So everyone used to, like, we had, like, these common friends, these gay common friends, that everyone used to tell each other where the parties were.
But you had a community.
It was a very strong community.
And people you felt safe with.
Yes, extremely safe. And... I mean, we are still like friends in the same clique, etc. Obviously, now everyone has his own life, everyone has his own journey. But it was, at that time, it was very important that you can have your like space with your friends. And even like to book restaurants, etc. It was so uncomfortable even deciding to go for a weekend break. I mean, we used to like be in a clique to rent a farmhouse in
Pozzo. There goes your romantic weekend for
two. Forget the romantic weekend. So it was very uncomfortable. It was like having a different world in your own bubble. Mm-hmm. So that was very hard. In fact, I mean, I left home when I was just 21, and I was the first one within my clique to have my apartment. So every weekend, everyone used to hang in there and like party at Elaine.
The new Godiva.
Yeah. So I mean, compared to nowadays, when you consider there isn't a gay bar,
which is insane. Uh-huh.
It is insane. So wow, that's really great.
The shift that happened in a few years.
But that in a way scares me a bit. But what about people like the young people that do want to, like,
there isn't AXM anymore, it's closed.
No.
Get out of the closet and no, don't have friends.
Not really, that's just to go to a place that's yours, like where you say I can be gay and I can be friendly and I can be
a club or even just a cafe.
I think this is a business opportunity, guys.
Let's do it.
But it is the
truth. And call it more than just friends.
Yeah.
Lester.
Yes, but it was completely different. I never thought of getting married or having kids. No, that wasn't on the table at all.
Something that you ever had exposure to, I think.
Exactly, because it wasn't available. So why do you dream about it?
Why dream about it as a...
Why? Mm-hmm. And we, obviously then we used to travel to go to gay prides abroad, and then you feel relieved and you feel free.
Welcomed almost. Mm-hmm.
That was like an experience. But obviously things are completely different now, and what obviously Christina experienced in her time is completely different to what I experienced.
We had gay bars though, as in I remember going, we did.
We went once, all three of us.
Yes. No, but also, like, there was still AXM.
Yes,
there was.
It used to be Closet.
Thank you. I'm forgetting all the names, but I do remember going specifically to gay bars, like you're saying, one, to meet people, because as in, I remember my mother had asked me this question once in the middle of Slima. She's like, so Chris, how would you meet another lesbian? And I was like, I don't know, Ma. I would just go up to someone and be like, you a lesbian.
This is the classic that, and it annoys me so much. Like, you know her, you know.
Because Italia. We're gay, we know everybody.
Why should I know her? Because you're gay. As if I know all the gay people in Malta.
All the gays in the village.
Just
there is that. There is, to meet people is already a challenge. And there is also a saying, like, tal klikka, you know, like, what, you've all dated each other? You know, I don't know how many times I've heard it, because we all hang out together and they assume that these are the only gay people we know, then we must have definitely dated each other, which is a little bit, I think that's where the question of my mom was coming from. I think it was more from a place of concern, but she didn't know how to bring it across in that way. In that, how could we meet someone safely and not, A, be taken advantage of or be bullied? Because I remember my parents always being very worried about the fact that, like, now you came out, you're part of a minority, you know, you're going to be singled out because you're gay. And there were a lot of these queries. I think the fact that they were shocked that because I came out was a little bit of their prejudice towards it, but also a lot of it was their love for me and not want me wanting me to be part of this minority group, which I think was the same for your parents as well. Couple that with the fact that it was a rarity to come out so openly back every year. I think not even every generation, every year it's different. Like, I see my baby cousins growing up and my cousins just turn around and say, so when you have a boyfriend or a girlfriend, then it's just like, wow, I wish I was told that when I was growing up. And again, we used to build fantasies and fairy tales based on what we thought we could attain. So like Lil said, we had to have a boyfriend to get married, to have kids. I couldn't have a girlfriend to get married, to have kids. Whereas now I feel that we've really accomplished something that our younger selves like could never dream of having. So there's that like mini win. And then overcoming the constant obstacles, like in your first podcast, Tina, I think it was mentioned, that awkwardness where they'll be like, so this is, and you're like, yes, this is my wife. And I really, like, when she said it, I was just like, yes, I relish that awkwardness as well, because like they make us feel awkward. For me, it's just like, yes, this is my wife. And yes, this is our daughter. And yes, we are a family. Do you have a problem with that?
But people are not, I feel that sometimes people are not yet so okay or so prepared for that.
They're still taken aback.
They're still like shocked. Ara, Vera? Okay.
I think a lot of people, everyone has their bubble. Mm-hmm. And we have actively sought a bubble that is like ours. You know, you merge two bubbles together, they become one. So we're always looking for people who are like us. But if you are in a scenario where, I mean, not all straight people are straight. You know, they're only going to see what they know. And then when they're faced with something that they don't know, that they're not familiar with, there's a lot of shock and a lot of discomfort. I always find it funny when they're overly accepting and they're like, I love the gays.
Mm-hmm. I just retort with I love the straights, as in what else are you gonna say? That I love the gays, like we're on a shelf in a vetrina. They're like, oh look, they're there. I don't know, as in these things bother me a little bit, where we're made to feel as though we somehow, it was always a constant battle, like, why do I need to come out as gay? Why do I need to introduce that Lil is my wife? Why isn't it a given that if we're together and we have a child, that we're not expecting our husbands to waltz through? But I think, and then we're expecting, dare I say it, too much for a population that don't try to educate themselves or don't try to think outside the box.
It's just when people are faced with the situation, they feel so uncomfortable, they feel lost, they maybe never experienced it. So
possibly.
Also...
But I don't think there should be something to experience.
No, it's true.
Like, it's not. This we're not at the cinema. I don't think that they should be made to feel uncomfortable. Like, I'm not made to feel uncomfortable when someone walks in with their husband, because it's their husband, whatever. Mm-hmm. Someone they chose to love.
And also, I feel sometimes that I don't need to explain that I'm now married to a woman, because a straight guy doesn't need to say, Isma, I'm married to a woman.
Yeah.
So why should I explain that?
But do you feel that people expect an explanation, or it's just... the shock of it.
I don't know. There always is a lingering silence. Like, even when we go to the grocer in our pajamas around the corner together, it took our like little village grocery lady to be like to be int ta Elaine, like I'm her property, and I'll be like, Eva, you're not ta Elaine, and she'll be like, oh. And then when we walked in with a kid the first time, you could see the cogs in her brain like skip a bit, and she'll be like, but
what's happening here?
And I think first we did morph, like, so we're village core, and we bring the average age down by a couple of points. When we started walking in the street and they saw me open her door in the first few years of our relationship, they would look and wait to see, like, what happens, especially, is she going to go through the door and leave a delivery? Mm-hmm. Is she going to go through the door and stay there? And often when we came out together, and there happens to be someone in the street, because there's always someone in the street or at the window in Malta, we would get those lingering looks of, are they sisters? Are they friends? Mm-hmm. Are they in a relationship? And I think the first time we ordered the bed, remember, from like Jeffrey was like, a double bed, and we're like, no, two singles. So there's always that awkwardness. So when we get someone in, a technician to repair something, like last time, the washing machine guy, when I opened the door with a child,
he felt so uncomfortable.
And then he saw Lil, there was that like,
Lila, kallimt jew.
And that is, especially there in your home, you do feel violated a little bit, because why am I made to expect the shock when I open my front door, because Lil isn't a man, you know, and I don't have a husband. Why is it that, I don't know, I personally feel it when we go to Gozo, for example, when we'll be at the park playing and the looks are longer and they're more blatant and they follow you.
You notice that they will be like talking and trying to understand what's going on. But I mean, we do encounter it, but not so. I mean, it depends where we are.
Also, we just don't care. I think if we had to pay attention to it, it would bother us a lot more. I don't know. As in, whenever we experienced the primary school, it was always, you know, Allura, it comes in a trouble, and we'd be like, aha, mommy and mama. And it took them a while, but then eventually it was very sweet that the guards at the gate used to distinguish that, yeah, Lil was mama and I was mommy, which I thought really went the extra mile. So then that made us feel
more comfortable,
welcome.
And welcome. Mm-hmm.
But then you stop and you think, and I'm like, why is this making me feel welcome? You know, why is them trying, me being like, oh, how sweet they're trying? I don't know if that makes sense. This distinction that we make between people being consciously nice to us or not, is it because I'm overthinking the fact that they're being nice to us because we're gay, or are they genuinely being nice? You know, you tend to question everything, and then every extra good morning, you'll be like, Tata, tkellimni because she wants to be friends with us or because she's genuinely nice. I don't know. It's probably just me, because you're looking at me like it's just me.
No, I think it's very true that you end up questioning these interactions, because you just end up thinking, are they trying to counter some kind of homophobia that they might have had in a previous life, and now they're being extra nice? Are they being nice because they're curious? I just want to feel like I can walk into a room and not feel questioned about who I am.
And being judged.
Yeah, and three times, I don't know why I'm counting them, but three times we got told, like, you're good parents. And
wow,
that just makes me stop. I'd be like, did you think we were bad parents at a point? Like, what is your brain flipping about? Like, why did you think that we wouldn't be good parents? Because there are people that are good or bad parents, heterosexual or homosexual or single or old or young or anything. You can be a bad parent regardless of your gender, age, or, you know, sexuality. But when they just come and off the bat think they're complimenting you by saying, ah, you're good parents, I'll be just like, that was an insult in itself.
But it's just, I think it's just because people are still so uncomfortable by the situation, or they're shocked. Like when someone says, arash hasrash ind gay. I mean...
Do you still hear that, or is that something you've heard in the past?
We've heard.
I heard it when I came out to my family. They thought it was like, you know, shhasra. And when I questioned it, it was like, because you're so pretty, especially, you know, men are going to miss out on you. And I'm like, if I'm pretty for men, I'm pretty for women, you know? And if this is going to be something that's going to help me find a mate, sure that's not even a word, whether it's male or female, the skill set is there. Like, if you're a nice, genuine, kind person, you're still going to find someone. It's whether you're gay, bi, or any of whatever sexuality you want to identify with, you're still going to find someone that you can assimilate with. If you're rude and nasty and you alienate people, again, regardless of your sexuality, you're not going to find someone. But I think that was coming from a place of more misunderstanding than anything. But yes, I think, I mean, we've both been propositioned by men. Yeah. And, you know, that was when I was also happy to introduce Lil as my partner or say I'm gay and be like, go away.
Have you ever had any uncomfortable situations where men or anybody might have intimidated you a little bit when they saw that you were a couple? Or is it just, does it stop at stares?
No one ever made us feel uncomfortable in the sense that we felt we needed to leave immediately or anything like that. But we would be made to feel uncomfortable in the terms of always having to explain our relationship or point out something that might have been obvious to them that wasn't to us. So recently, like we said, with one of our children, we had to apply for a school. And when we went to the school, all the forms were mother and father. And when we pointed this out, they're just like, ah, Mela, just write down the dominant parent.
What's a dominant parent?
We were like, so then I said in true Christina fashion, I was like, ah, so you want to know who the mother is, basically, who's going to take care of? I'm like, but there are two mothers. And he's like, ah, ma, Ivana, ma, minha yiji aliya. And I'm like, okay, so you want to know the primary caregiver. So I'm like, okay, so as primary caregiver, that would be me. But then also if my mobile isn't in a position, Lil is also a primary caregiver. I was like, so let's just do parent one, parent two. But you get in touch with whoever you want to get in touch with. And it worked. Invariably, they'd always get in touch with Lil. They'd never get the idea that her mobile is not in a position. And she'd be like, I'm called school. And I'm like, okay, I'll call it school. They would never try both of us. So they took that to mean that Lil was in charge. And I was just like, hi, you called Elaine. Like, can you call me, please? Because my mobile is more sort of always in a position. Eva, all right. And then they were like, Han calls school. Hi, you called Elaine. So
they call Elaine and not you.
If you're because that whole confusion. No, because that whole confusion led them to believe that maybe they should contact Lil. Which is fine.
Because Christina might be a typo and it could be Christian.
We had that issue.
No, also they look at me with the short hair and say, okay, Dicker Rajel,
because this
Lil takes on
fashion. Thought that two gay women have to be like the male and the female role.
Have you ever been asked who's the man?
Not who's the man, but we have been put in positions where, so like when another placement of ours ended up in hospital, the doctors were always addressing Lil because they assumed that she looks female, not because I don't look female, but anyway, she has long hair, she fits the stereotype because
so
Deke,
every
she's
question.
The butch, so every time I'd be like, no, and they'd be like, Alura, shinu ma simtomi? Ah, tamaleka quick. And I'd be like, can you look at me? I'm the one who's answering, you
but
know?
But even the fact that compared to, you know, when we go out, Christina sometimes is comfortable wearing dress, which is fine.
Oh, some my people, God, the first time I wore a dress with your friends.
Maybe they weren't open or they're not comfortable of seeing two gay women wearing dresses or putting on makeup, etc.
So that was that more...
now it's becoming more.
But again, Lil was used to this a lot, so I think that's why my profile picture change helped, which was a bonus. It was a bonus, but it was a very stereotypical shoot that I had done with a photographer who wanted, you know, the blazer one. So I fit into Lil's schema of a butch lesbian. And then she met me and she was just like, but you had said it once, manti veramentish butch. And I'm like, pero, took you long enough. So I had, just because, but anyway, moving on. We never were made to feel uncomfortable other than when stereotypes were pushed into our sort of onto actually our lives and onto our personalities. Or even when we went, now with all the contracts we had to sign to get married, it was always bride and groom, and we'd be like, meh.
You know? We did cross some.
And I don't know how many emails we sent, like, Specchi, you couldn't have arranged it. It's a Word document before sending it. And they're like, last time I cast. And I'm like, of course, because it's so commonplace to have a bride and a groom that it would never have occurred to them to be like, Christina and Elaine, female and female, let me change the contract, because it's not going to... They'll be like, we are mush contract, and I'm like...
Or do partner one, partner two, just not to hurt anyone.
Yeah.
No, but they could also make it personal. We're paying a lot of money. You know, it's our wedding day. I mean, just there really isn't something that goes against typing out bride and bride, or groom and groom, or Mr. and Mrs. Whatevs. It would have gone. It really would have taken it to the extra mile, where I would have been like, how thoughtful. You know, how sweet. It happened to us once. I don't know where we were. And I was like, oh, how sweet, hon. Oh, at Luke and Sarah's wedding. They put us down as Mrs. and Mrs. Amitla Rosa. And I was like, how
that
amazing.
Was recent, last week.
I know. Okay, at their cousin, so they would have. But kudos. It was like I turned around and I had to tell them how sweet, how thoughtful that they changed the table settings for Mrs. and Mrs. It's really cute. It still makes me smile. So it's just these little things, you know, that really go the extra mile. Because this is who we are. We are Mrs. and Mrs. Ain't no Mr. Aranger.
No way.
Now that your relationship has evolved in this way, did you ever imagine being here and kind of living your life as you're living it? Do you feel like you're living your full truth, to quote this year's Pride slogan?
Yes, very much so. Very much. I think
even
I never...
Even if you're not going to retire at 55.
I'm not shelf the idea. But like on our wedding day, I was feeling, obviously, I was happy that I was getting married to Christina.
It was a bit of a bad day, you know,
but having my family there, our close friends, relatives, etc., all celebrating us and our day was really, really, really special. I mean, considering that maybe some of the guests were... have never attended a gay wedding or experienced all this. Even the fact that a lot of, I mean, the majority, I think, if not everyone, attended the ceremony, which was a very important thing for us, made it more special. And it was lovely. So that is like a massive achievement as well as individuals and as a couple as well. So
even though you didn't want to get married.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. So that was
she took
really
two
nice.
Weeks to say yes, guys.
Did she?
Yes. Because she had a climbing trip. And
No.
Yes,
that's not why you took 2 weeks.
Yeah, no.
My climbing trip was after when you resized the ring. The two weeks was before.
No.
I am right on this.
So she had a climbing trip and I told her, go. And when you come back, I'll let you know. I wanted her to come back alive.
Give you something to come back for.
She did exactly. Nothing.
But
she gave
yes,
it to come back for.
It took me 2 weeks to say yes and to wear the ring as well. So
took you another 2 weeks to wear the ring, probably. That's hot.
No, it was 2 weeks.
I think if I would have done like the string, like the Count of Monte Cristo and really romantic, you would have taken it off and been like, "Mush, it's a babe."
That would have been sweet as well.
You wouldn't have liked it.
Yes.
Not true.
But that's it. That's the beauty of you guys, that you had a completely different start to where you are now.
Completely different. And obviously in the mix of us and kids, that was another thing that obviously we decided, like, it was hard for me to say yes. Not to say
to
yes,
me.
But no. About children, Hannah.
I know, I'm just joking.
Yeah, but the decision of going into fostering, we said...
We didn't know that we wanted to be parents. We didn't know we could be parents either. There's always that existential question of what if I'm a bad parent? And we did the fostering course because we said we'll take it on for respite. So when they need, we'll be there, but kind of not full term. We don't want to be full-time moms. We wanted to continue being us and live up to her 55-year retirement plan. But then as the cases came in and they weren't respite and we tasted kind of being moms, we kicked butt. So we did our first placement and it was actually successfully reintegrated. And then we took a little break and we got the second placement and we said, hey, it's just for 8 weeks, you know, and then we'll plan a nice holiday and we'll take a break. A year and a half later, she's still with us. And last time Lil said, what did you say, Han? Say it in the mic.
No, I'm not going to say it. No, because, no. I'm not going to say it.
Can we have the gist of it, please?
She wants another one. Okay.
How did this happen to you, Elaine?
I don't know.
Every really case. So I was the one who was like, no, babe, I really want to be a parent. And Lil was like, I can't do this again. I don't want to do it again.
It's for our koala, but...
But each child, so each placement we got, it was Lil who would spur on the conversation of, Alura, shan I do lom la poch? And that is like, I need to get it tattooed somewhere. So we were swimming, and you'd be like, we don't have a boy. And I just turned around, and I was like, does this mean you want us to tell them we're ready? And she'd be like, Lil, hana sibaftit.
Hana sibaftit. No, because obviously it's a massive commitment.
But you, as in, which is amazing. Because I'm so sure about where I want to be with fostering children, and if I could have a castle and would take all the kids,
I think
we can,
that is why sometimes I think about it, because I know that there are a lot of kids who need a loving family. Yes, we can. Somehow we can. We will always manage, but. It is a commitment.
But especially with the way it came about. And I say that in the sense an average couple would say, bim, boom, bam, let's do it. And they start trying and eventually, you know, a pregnancy takes. But to have started the course.
It's a process and obviously a process and a commitment.
And it's always something we said. We're like, Atayap, we're going through. It was one of the points that would always take us back to, let's just say yes, kind of, because we were always rethinking it and going around in the same circle of, but we're not going to be good moms, we won't manage to do it with our lifestyle. Whereas, like you said, a heterosexual couple will get pregnant and then make the lifestyle changes to accept
and have
that
child.
To
think about
and we
it.
Were always toing and froing and being like, but we go out so much, so we cannot. And then...
We travel a lot.
Yeah, and then there'd be a quiet time and we'd be like, but... This week we would have managed the kid. And then we'd be like, let's go abroad. So we're like, no, we cannot have a child because we cannot spontaneously travel. So we were spent 2 years toying with the idea of being like, should we take the plan? Should we not? And then doing the interviews that they wanted us to do and the police conduct and the pay slips and the FS3s. And we're like, normal heterosexual couples don't go through this to get pregnant. Albeit if you're a heterosexual couple and you want to go to the fostering course, you need to go to this hurdle. So it's not singling out gays or lesbians.
No, and see...
But we went through this massive thought process because we wanted to take on fostering and foster children and just help this community. And we were constantly stuck in a loop of, but we'll never manage, we'll never be successful moms because we're just too busy or because our priorities lie with going out, having a good time, going abroad. Could we selfishly take on a selfless act because we were so caught in our beautiful relationship that we thought that we would lose us if we got in a child? And we did play on the edge a couple of times, but it was... It's the strength that we...
But eventually, we made it and we found each other to be honest, much stronger now. And that is... And I mean, the reason why I mentioned, like, maybe we can...
Also, I should know.
Take another case.
In every relationship with kids, not female male, not older younger, there's always going to be one parent that has the flexibility. So in our relationship, she calls me a ninja mommy because I manage my job and I manage the household until Lil comes home. But then she's equally a ninja mommy because when I'm not able to do it or when I'm busy or when I'm caught up, she'll swoop in and take over.
Which is extremely normal because obviously, normally, one parent has more flexibility than
And also, so you need to know when to strike a balance because, again, in any relationship, hetero or homosexual, alaharis there isn't that balance. Alaharis one person is just pulling all the weight and the other one is, you know, being dragged along with all the burdens that come with a relationship or having a family life. We are fortunate that we've really managed to find that balance where I will pull all the weight when I can, but then Lil will easily come in and pull all the weight when she can. And it's not like, ash inti soltu sajjar, jew inti soltu tnaddaf, jew inti soltu tiġbora t-tifla mill-iskola. When I cannot, I'll be like, hun, and invariably she'll take leave because that's what is needed and go and do it. You know, it's never like, but you do this, so sort it out, which I think is beautiful. Hafna.
It's very important for each other's sanity as well.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And I think there is something to be said about it because aside from not imagining it happening, but in terms of what we've been taught, we were raised with the expectation put upon us that we are one day going to have a family and that's how life is going to be. And you guys have taken that and made your own version of it.
Yeah. Fighting against the status quo. Because every time everyone tells us, but it's easier for you because you're two mummies. I'll be like, you just put an entire role, a parental role, onto one gender. Because I know many families that are a mummy and a daddy, but let's roll with it and fall into the gender stereotypes and say that the daddy is the mummy. So I could have been the daddy, and Lil could have been the daddy if you're going to follow this. And then what? And also in a gay relationship, you're not going to have a mommy. Alura, miskin, the child doesn't have a mommy. I think we need to stop saying mommy and daddy and that. So you're the mommy in the relationship. And I'll be like, there's a dominant parent and a less dominant parent. But also, if you don't balance the scales by being able to play around with who's going to do what and when, then you're really going to get stuck in the role definition and role identification of this is your job and this is my job. And then where do the lines blur? Where is it going to be like, I don't know how many times I did a whole day of washing clothes that I complain and then I forget the next day and I go up and the laundry basket is finished because Lil would have done it. I don't have to be like, Han, go to the clothes. We're so quickly meld into, the laundry basket is full, let me just do a load. Because it's our household. It's our responsibility. They're our chores. And when people tell me, so like, you're the mommy, I'll be like, I don't even know what that means. I mean, do I cook? Yes. But did Lil cook yesterday? Yes. So do I take off the mommy hat and put it on Lil's head? But it is so ingrained, so deeply ingrained, that but they'll be like, it must be easier for you because you're two mummies. And I'll be like, but Lil could have been a shit parent.
That comes from the traditional family setup that we were brought
up with.
Exactly. And that the mother has to do the shopping, the cooking, the taking care
shopping.
Of the...
I hate Lil does it all. I'll be like, Han, go
taking
to...
care of the kids. And the daddy will entertain the kids only. Or maybe, like, just relax on the couch when he's back from work, but it doesn't happen in reality.
It does happen sometimes, but because we both need it. I relax on the couch and she tells me, Han, more podgeable Eda. And I'm like, okay, I'm going. And then other times I'll be like, I'll do the cooking and you sit down. So
balance.
Is there anything that you guys would like to pass on to our listeners?
I think mostly the fear that we have of coming out is a fear that we have, and that also perhaps more awareness needs to be raised in that people are allowed to just be. That we don't always have to try and define or try to explain what that guy walking down the street is with long hair. Is he gay? Is he straight? He's just being. Let him be, you know? We experienced the inadequacy of being asked certain things again when now recently when we got married, because we were both in dresses again, going against the status quo. Everyone was like, ah, so Chris, you got your suit? And I was like, face bun. And because we were both dressed in bridal gowns, someone said, oh, how sweet, a double wedding.
We were like,
and we just looked at each other and we were like, no, a friend of us was like, no, it's a gay wedding. And she was just like, bah. And this person just was like, okay, turned around and left, like, switched. Not only did she put her foot in it, but also, I'm not going to say sweet of her to think or to comment, because how is it that her natural default was that it was a double wedding? Not that there was possibly two brides that were in love and getting married. And, oh my God, I haven't heard of a double wedding since, like, years ago. So is it even a thing? I don't know. When was it? I don't know. So even when we had gone to Luke to discuss our gowns, and he turned to Lil and he said, so would you like a gown? And she said, yes, I'd love a gown, but I'm not sure. And he said, okay, shop around and then kind of come back to me with your ideas. And he said, and you, Chris, kind of, what do you want? I liked that he didn't be like, ah, so we're going to tailor something for you. You know, I liked that he left it open. And I think that's why we came up with the ensemble that we did, because I wanted to kick this notion that there's always a butch and a femme in our relationship, with the idea of melding together a sort of a gown with trousers and it being elegant and eloquent, but also sending a message that kind of you're allowed to wear what you want, you're allowed to be who you want.
Just be yourself.
Sometimes I feel like wearing a suit, sometimes I feel like wearing a dress. Why do I need
to explain or feel uncomfortable? Why?
Yeah.
It is your life at the end of the day. And that is,
I like Chris, you're wearing a suit today. And I'm like, yes, I wanted a suit.
Everyone should be free to do whatever they feel like doing and whatever, and what makes them happy. That's the most important thing.
And that's what you guys are doing.
And yeah. And if people don't accept us, then we just don't have space for them. And that took a lot of growth and a lot of sort of emotional intelligence to understand that what we needed isn't necessarily what someone who didn't accept us needed. And we surrounded ourselves with the most beautiful people around.
Amazing. Thank you guys for joining me today. It was really, really nice having you. Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for listening to More Than Friends. Be sure to like, follow, and subscribe on your platform of choice to get notified about our next episode. If you or someone you know is struggling with their sexuality, there's help out there. ARC, Richmond Foundation, and MGRM offer support services for people of all ages.